Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Monday, May 13th, 2024. This is Channeling Emily, an organic process created by me for me, Emily, in a way that will align with the highest expression of who I am. It's my inner work. I started the podcast for accountability. And I continue it because it works. I made an intention to keep showing up for myself. Showing up every single day doing this recording is a bit much. TBH, it's a bit much. So I am not going to force myself to do it every single day. This weekend was Mother's Day and taking the break off was actually really nice. So ebb and flow. Find a way that works for me. But I'm back doing it today because it is important to do the work. So I'm going to tell you about the process and then I just do it. That's kind of how this podcast works. I don't have anything on my mind today. I got a lot of stuff I have to do. I feel quite, you know how you when you wake up and you already feel like you're late? Just because I got so much stuff on my plate today. So let me tell you my process. So it's about spending time alone. And there's so many tools out that can help you do this. I like to just talk to myself and get the answers from self. One of my students the other day was struggling with something and I recommended that they use ChatGPT to just have a little tiny therapy session. You know, it has all the information that you need. It's just a matter of learning how to interact with yourself in the help of this tool. But I use imagination, visualization, and creativity. That's the way my brain works. That's who I am. It's the process I follow. So imagination is where I go. That's where I say you get the downloads, the inspiration for what you create. Talk to any artist. They have a different label that they give it. But basically, imagination is where you're taking something from nothing. You're not getting it from a textbook. And it could be that you have a lot of information and you're curating it all together to make something new. But it's still a creation from yourself. It has to come from somewhere. And I call that imagination. A lot of people call that, you know, God, the universe, source, whatever you want to call it. But it's just that place of the unknown. That which doesn't exist yet, can't be measured and observed, comes to us, and then we manifest something that could be measurable and observed. The reality, right? Or the expression of it. Okay, so that's imagination. Visualization is how I get the information. So I receive by pictures. It's not like pictures like 2D. It's like walking into a movie or a virtual reality space. I'm like in a VR game. But these symbols and sceneries and metaphors are all, I would say, like my unconscious or subconscious kind of bringing me forth that information. And then my highest expression of me is the one guiding it, right? That's the one that knows, I say. Like, I know what's best for me. But my programming sometimes comes into play that, has me doing things that aren't always in my highest good. So when I'm able to visualize, I can get the lessons through my sight. And then a feeling of what it means, right? Even though I don't know what it means all the time. Creativity is human expression. That is how we take what we're influenced by or inspired by or that which is downloaded, and we find a way to put it out into the world. So imagination, visualization, and creativity is how I live my life. So it's also how I do this process. I'm tired this morning. My butt is dragging. I can feel it. It's like I'm moving forward and my energy's in the back going, hold up, we're not ready yet. I use 4-7-8 breathing. Because the breath is everything. To get me into that space, I breathe in for a count of 4, hold it for a count of 7, breathe it for a count of 8. And that just slows down my physiology. I get into a trance-like state. And these are like rituals, right? They're ways that get you into a zone, I guess. I was actually thinking about creating a ritual for my class, like something we do when we first, before we start the class. It could be a movement, it could be a song, it could be a saying, kind of like we used to do with the Pledge of Allegiance, right? But it could be something fun and light and not, with so much history and trauma. Rituals matter, right? They do change our state in a patterned way. It's a programming that we use intentionally. So this is my ritual. So breathe in for a count of four, hold it for a count of seven, breathe out for a count of eight, and then go right into my visualization. I see myself sitting in the base of a tree. The roots of the tree go through my butt deep into the earth, like grounding me, holding on to me, and then grounding me deep into the earth. That reminds me that I'm having a human experience. Yes, I go to La La Land, but I need to return. So the grounding roots just remind me to come back to the human experience and don't be walking around my day-to-day out in the cosmos, right? It doesn't allow me to connect with other humans if I'm seeing things they can't see all the time. That's what imagination is, right? When you go out into the world and somebody has an imaginative mind and you're like, wow, you're so imaginative. They may not be fully grounded into their human experience and they're constantly getting ideas. I laugh because I've been there before. I know what it feels like. All right, so where was I? Visualization, roots deep into the earth. And then the tools that I use are up in the treetop. So I have unconditional love or unconditional positive regard. So everything happens in a oneness, right? There's like coming together of everything. And that is unconditional love. Anytime you don't have separation, you're demonstrating love. If you're saying, I don't like you, I don't want you, and you're pushing somebody away, that's not love. It doesn't mean you have to bring them close and into your life. You just don't push them away, right? You just move about your business. So, unconditional love is the way that I can get to the space of imagination. And then faith and surrender are how I walk the path. So, faith I see is a dirt road leading to a cliff, which is my surrender. I can't do this work. Nobody's told me, hey, Emmeline, this is the right way. Go do this way. I would say, not directly, nobody's told me, hey, you should stop that. That's stupid. If somebody said that, I'd be like, okay. But nobody's really said anything about my process, right? But I do sometimes have thoughts in my mind of old programming, of a lot of the things I do may not be what other people believe to be in my highest good. That's all. Is because they have limitations on their beliefs about what I'm doing, so therefore they can't condone it for me. Does that make sense? But it's all about their experience, not about mine. So, faith is, do I have faith that this is right for me? Because nobody's going to validate it for me. Yes, what I do in life, I have faith in the unfolding. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. I do not do things that I don't have faith in anymore. Of course, I did when I was in the survival game because you were fearful, right? I don't believe in this, but if I don't do it, then I'm going to have a problem because it's expected, or obviously they know more than me, or whatever it is. But when you're living in the thriving game, you don't do things that you don't have faith in because you're living your life, right? You're not following orders. All right, so that's my faith is the path that I walk. Surrender is letting anything go that's not on my path. And that's just a matter of focus. So if I want to do A, then B is not an option to me at that one moment in time because I'm a human. I can only have an experience at a time, right? So I have to surrender anything not in alignment with what my focus is. That makes sense, right? If I'm going to go to college and study, for instance, we were talking about this with alcohol this weekend because I was trying out some alternative alcohol. I'm going to say it was a fail. I wouldn't continue doing them. It's the ketone stuff. But anyway, it had conversations about alcohol use and abuse and our country and the prevalence of alcohol in the human species and how that is impacting how we treat each other and all these kind of things. And
I think that it's just a matter of what is in your highest good and how you're experiencing it. And sometimes you'll move into alternatives if that one thing doesn't serve you, right? There's this ebb and flow of seeking and finding and receiving and all this stuff that happens to allow what you have faith in to unfold. It's not like a I don't know how to say it. It's not like a predestined unfolding. It happens as you walk with faith, and you can't even imagine how it happened. Like, I didn't even know there was a fake alcohol. I was like, what the heck is this? Not a fake alcohol, but you know what I mean? A new chemical component that people use to change their consciousness and blah, 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 blah. So it comes into play, and you play with it, and you decide, is this new data helpful for me or not? I don't know where I went on that tangent. Sorry, my brain just vomited stuff. I'm like, I need to take a breath. I am not centered. Okay, so that's the process, if it made any sense. The other thing I do is I have a white light that goes through my body up as high as I can see and down into the ground, and that's about alignment. My best ex human expression is in balance for Amelin. I don't know if that's for everybody, but I would assume so. Yeah, so my extremes are where my chaos happens, and you know, it's fun. It's part of the experience, but balance is my highest expression. I remove my ego, which I see as a candle on a plate, which is nothing more than the avatar that I created to live this game, right? Amelin is an avatar, and I have programming, I have beliefs, I have habits, I have things that are in place that help me maneuver this metaverse of life. And in order for me to do the work that I'm doing now, right, getting into imagination and pulling forth something new, I need to remove that programming. So I move it back through my body and over to the right, and I just like assure, okay, I'll be back to pick you up. And then, yeah, and then I don't argue with myself as much. My ego pops back anytime it's threatened, but all right, let me go ahead and get this started. I don't have my mic today. I packed it up because I was going to take it with me for Friday, and I didn't end up doing it on Friday. But now I think my microphone is packed in a bag somewhere. So I'm just going to do this on speaker. Oh, we are dragging this morning. Have you ever felt like your eyeballs were on your chin? I mean, like they're like drooping so far down. All right, so I'm going to start with 4, 7, 8 breathing. Maybe that will give me some energy and wake me up. Here we go. One more. Roots deep into the earth. Unconditional love. Faith, surrender, alignment. Remove my ego. Okay, I'm just gonna look in. I just call it theater of the mind or the space of creation. It's like right between my eyebrows, there's like a dark space. It's like a room I go into. And when I say what's in our highest good to know, I'm basically calling whatever imagery wants to come forth. And R, because I want it in our highest good. My intention throughout my lifetime is anybody that comes in contact with Amelin or Mystic or whatever variation of the life force that I use in this lifetime, that it will be in both of our highest good. So I set that intention anytime I'm doing work, actually. That way I can let go of it and it will flow through after. Okay, so what's in our highest good to know today? And I'll look. Beans. I see beans, but it might be because I have beans in the fridge. What is that I need to have for lunch today before they go bad? Worry. Oh, so this. So the beans that I'm thinking about, the energy of I must do that or I'll lose it is something that, oh, yes, I know what this is regarding to. And I'm not going to share this out loud because I'm learning to keep things inside that I really, really, really want, because when I put them outside, I tend to force it and make it happen. So there's something that I am a Lynn is seeing as very intriguing and interesting and almost like calling to me, right, as a possibility. And I see, like, okay, so I'm seeing the beans, but I'm seeing inside of me what my emotions are and how it propels me forward. So when I get really excited about something, I believe that it's already happened and I just have to go find it, right? It's kind of like, yes, it's there, just see it, how it's already unfolding. But then I tend to take control and try to make it in my mind's like vision of how I see it, make it happen. And that's when it breaks down, because there's unknown things that I don't get, unknown information, timing, all these kind of things, but I just force it to make it happen. And then I lose a little bit of the magic, right? Because I'm not allowing it to unfold again. It's like me picking up the carrot from the ground to see if it's grown and then shoving it back in. It's like I rip out the roots and then they have to repair every time. So that aspect of sometimes can turn into anxiety. Yeah. Especially when I see it so clearly, because I see things in my life and I'm like, boom, that's it. It's done. Blah, blah, blah. So clarity and confidence and assuredness and knowingness and all this kind of stuff. But then Amelin comes in and says, well, this is what we believe. If I want that to happen, I'm going to have to work really, really hard. I'm going to have to figure it out. I'm going to have to make it happen. I'm going to have to be diligent. I'm going to... It's like... Okay, so there's something being said, like, in my voice, and I don't want to say it out loud because it's kind of like... All right, let me remove my ego. Okay, so it's basically saying I'm playing with the designer's game, you know, so like if somebody created a video game for you to play, better yet, what if you created a video game for you to play? Like in the metaverse, you could build games, right? You could build experiences. Let's say that you create an experience for yourself and then you go and play the experience, but you're so worried that it won't actually or you're assuming that you have to take control to make it to come. Like there's something in the game that you have to do to make this unfold. But in reality, it was going to unfold what, no matter what. Like just playing the game, it's going to happen. It's in the design. But I have an experience within myself that's not about the design. It's about my need to control something. And so this excitement that I have about something, kind of the same, like, well, Teresa made me the beans when I went to go see her. She gives me food that she makes with such love. I love it. It's yummy. And I can't cook. So so she sent me these beans. So there's a happiness in anticipation of, yes, I desire that. I like that, right? But then today... I thought about them and I'm like, okay, so if I don't get them and eat them, bring them to work, whatever it is today, then I'll lose my opportunity. That is something that happens a lot. And my logic makes sense of it. Of course, if I don't remember to eat them, then just time and the way things happen, it'll go bad. It won't. I need to act at a certain time, but I don't really know when that time is. So fear sometimes drives my action when I don't have faith in that which is will unfold. So with this situation, not the beans, but the other situation in my life, I can feel it, but I do have an apprehension of what if it doesn't happen. And it's not even that I'll be disappointed because I don't believe it will happen. It's because I want it to happen in this way. Like, yeah, okay. So the picture I'm getting now is like me dancing, right? I'm dancing and I'm listening to music and I'm grooving to it, right? But now I know that another song is going to be coming and I want the other song because I want to keep dancing. But I don't know what it is yet. So I just start dancing any beat that I think that the music that's going to come is going to sound like, right? So I'm moving before
The inspiration has come to know even which direction to move into. Okay, I just got that. That was a very locked feeling of being present. It's that the decision is made in the now, and the now, and the now, not in the future. And sometimes when I get ahead of myself is I go into my imagination, right, about the future, and I pull it from that place down into action now. But it's about going into that place and sitting with it until the action inspires in the now. There's a disconnect, and it's through my urgency and my desire. But it's not urgency and desire of I want that. It's that I also fear losing that. And it's not even fear of losing it. I'm fear of losing the opportunity of realizing that which I envisioned is in this situation that I have no control over. Just to be clear, I have no control over this situation. But I want it so profoundly, I think, what could I do to make it happen in my way? Ooh, that is, here's my pattern. What can I do to make it happen in my way? But the my way is not the way. It is the ego way. It is a way in which I feel in control and I can limit my fears. Man, I'm just seeing every pattern of this in my life. It happens so often. And it's because I see the thing of the future and I need to pull it into the now, but I have impatience of allowing it to come to me and I try to race to it. So in this situation, I'm being asked to practice the sitting. And waiting. I don't want to wait. I don't like this. Okay, hold on. Let me remove my ego because I'm reeling inside. Because waiting feels like nothing. Waiting feels like out of control. Waiting feels like if I'm in the control, can't I have the experience I want when I want it? And it's basically, it's having the experience that I want when I want it that's in alignment as well. All of this stuff can happen together. It's not like when I get it, I'm not going to want it because now it's not in the time that I had wanted it before. I'm still going to be grateful for it, but I'm going to receive so much more that I didn't even realize was missing from my first vision, I guess, right? Because things unfold. And I know this too, because I have acted on my visions, meaning desires, right? So I see things and they're, I call them visions, but they're really desires. It comes to me. And my life is about expressing my desires. But throughout my life, I have failed over and over again. And I believe my failure only comes from self, right? Nobody can fail me. It's my expectations that I had that are failing me, right? Reality is just happening, but it's me creating meaning and then losing meaning and then creating meaning and being disproven about my thought process. All of that back and forth. Oh, happens so much in my life. I am a creator of sliding glass doors in hallways. There's a vision I get a lot. It's like I like to complicate my life and there's a hallway, right? Well, I'll install a bunch of sliding glass doors, some with locks, some without. And then to get where I'm going, instead of just walking through, now I must stop and open and manipulate each of these passageways. And that's a pattern in my life. And I'm seeing it as ineffectual, right? It's not effective. I don't know if it's an experience though. If like a story was told, it's like I see books right now and it's like, but this is a chapter. This is the experience. It's not a good, bad, or indifferent. It's an experience. It's like Gee, thanks. 1 foot, 1 step forward, 2 step back, right? It's like a dance. It's like 1 step back, 2 step forward. It's like two step. There we go. It's like a two step. One, one, two. One, one, two. But it's not like consistent all the time. And maybe that's because I expect something in the future will be exactly as it is in the energy of today. But it's not. It changes. And I keep that same programming even though life is moving. Oh, that's true. So what do I do about this situation? Like, how do I hold myself from taking or trying to control the action? Let me see. I just see myself sitting like this. It's almost like I have to give it up in my mind, but I don't want to. You know what I mean? It's like, well, stop obsessing over it. Just let it go. But I can't, because I feel like if I out of sight, out of mind, right? If I don't keep my visuals there, then I'm going to lose the connection with it, the control of it. I am such a predictable person. As unique I think I am, I quite have a pattern. There's nothing I need to do, but that's terrifying for me. It's all, okay, so here's what I'm feeling in this imagery. So in the imagery, I'm just sitting here, right? In the kind of the stance I'm now, like lotus position. And I'm asking, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And it's just me sitting here breathing. And I'm like, in my mind, I can't just sit here and breathe. I got shit to do. It's a push, pull, push, pull, push, pull with self. All right. So, and I keep asking, what do I do? What do I do? And all it does is show me sitting here. So it's basically don't do anything, just breathe. But I can't accept that. There's something in me that says, no, that's not enough. If I don't get in, it's not going to happen. I don't have faith. Oh, exactly. All right. How do I get faith? So it has me ground, so I'm in the roots. Oh, so this is it. I got to ground into that belief. So it's just putting my roots into it, you know? Like I'm held to this. But it's not about the work. It's about grounding the belief into my human experience. I don't know what that means, though. How do I do that? Okay, so when I'm so focused on the doing, they're using like Barbie dolls, right? And instead of Barbie dolls sitting there in their scenery, right? And I'm using my imagination of what's going to unfold for them and everything. I pick them up and I'm like, you know how you make Barbies walk by jumping? They like jump. And I'm just having them jump all over the place. But there's nothing happening other than me going do 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 do. Like, oh, I'm playing. Isn't play good? It's an experience. Oh, I should be playing. What's the difference between play and work? The energy that I'm in. Oh, okay, so when I'm working, per se, right? When I feel as if I'm working, it feels as if I must control it. Work is about something I'm dominating so that it will make it happen, right? My desire is above all others in that instance. It will conform to my being. That is work, that I have a force over something. Play is that I have a dance with somebody, an agreement, a collaboration. We're in this together. Da, na, 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 na. What is that, High School Musical? I don't know. Da, na, na, na. It starts playing in my head. Da, 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 da. So it's like, shit. I don't like this. Hold on, let me remove my ego. It brings up a feeling of being out of control. and being out of control is fearful for me. And it is because I feel as if I can't depend on me, I can't depend on anybody. And if I don't deliver it for me, nobody will. It's a fear-driven behavior. And the only way I can get out of that fear-driven behavior is to stay in the energy of play and not fear to control it. So one is loss. One is creation. Play is a creation. Like, it doesn't work out in a certain way. There's a lot of unexpected turns. But control is a rigidity that doesn't allow for the breath to come through it. It wants to suffocate anything not in the vision of the one controlling it. Oh, so it's an ebb and flow of all of humanity. It's not just an Amelin thing. This is a human thing. Our desire to control is what limits our expression. Our fear that we must control is what removes the play experience. And it's limiting. It's never going to give us what's in our highest good when we're leaning forward with fear. Oh, I get it. Okay. So when it took me away from the, I guess, the example, the metaphor, right? And it put all of humanity, all of a sudden I had less of an attachment. I wasn't so sad. Because I get it. If this is a human species thing, you just got to go with it. This is the game we're playing. So if I understand what it is to be more of a human, then I can play this game as I'm designed to play. And again, play, not work. I'm not controlling something. I'm flowing with something. My expectations are only based on my view, which is limited in the energy of the now. And if I keep that now into the future, now I've limited the universe being able to play with me, right? Or everything else that exists to be able to play with me. So I just sit. This is what I got to do. Whenever my fear comes up, I sit and breathe. Because if I push it forward into the world, that is the experience that I want. But my experience is a play. It's creation. It's flow. It's enjoyment. It's connection with everything and everyone around. Versus work, isolation, fear, forced. It's very much forced. I can't even stop. There's a fear of stopping because if I stop, then it won't happen. So, I can see the two, I guess, expressions, and I'm being asked to be more on the play side, less on the work side. The work is the fear driven. The play is the inspiration. And I do define myself as play. I am a Lynn, am an expression of play. I love to build in public, which is what I call play. When you and the community have a vision and you try to make it happen, which is exactly what I'm doing with Zircon, I do not build it, the teens and young adults do. I am in play with them. Why do I want to get where I'm going all alone? Oh, I just saw that one. What's the point of rushing to the finish line when I'm the only one that's going to be there? So I can either be patient now as it unfolds, or I can rush ahead and have to wait in a place that may not be where everybody actually ultimately gathers. Oh, I see my metaverse stuff come in. Because there's a lot in my head that says, oh, it has to be this way, but it keeps failing. And those are the instances where it's like there's something better that's awaiting, right? There's something that is meant for this space. But because I'm fearful, I'm just going to take the lowest hanging fruit, the easy, the at least it's something, something's better than nothing again. Damn it! That pattern I've seen quite a few times. It's not better than nothing. Patience. Ugh. Okay. I get it. Like, I get it. Like, intellectually, I get it. That's how I get it first. Logically, it makes sense in my mind. But the emotion of it is still kind of hard because that's like head adult, heart teenager. Still a little apprehensive, right? Like, oh, I don't know. Okay, so here's what I'm gonna do. When the feeling that I must do something, and that I can see that word must comes. If I must do something or else I'll lose something, right? When that program comes into my brain, I must do something or I'll lose something. I'm going to take a breath. And ask, is this fear driven? Yes, because I'm more focused on what I can lose than what I can gain. So, how can I reverse this energy? What is the opportunity here that I can? And I want to pull back. What is the opportunity here where I can pull back my forward lean? It's like if there was a string on my back, I have a forward lean to me in life. Like I'm gonna make my life happen, right? Forward lean. But on the back end side, it's like there's a string tied to my back and they want me to pull myself upright. So I don't have a forward lean or a back lean. I'm just right in the middle. Like just right straight up and down. Okay, so take a breath. Pull myself into the straight because the forward lean is it. And then I'm asking if it's in fear, because if it's in fear, then I can let that go at that time. So am I leaning forward because of fear? If yes, let go and then upright again. Okay, I can do that. Visually, it's not like triggering or anything like that, but I get it. I guess I am recognizing the pattern of the forward lean that it's a bit of a self-sabotage for me. The me, like Amelin, is like, what do you mean? I learned all that shit because I leaned in that direction. There's a benefit as well, but when it's out of the wrong intention, right? So leaning in and hyperfixating and enjoying something and learning something about it is a good thing for me. But then not knowing when to pull back, right, and allow it to unfold is where the transition needs to happen. Yeah, I am so very impatient. I feel the impatience inside of me. It feels like you know when your foot falls asleep and there's pins and needles. And you have to wait until your foot wakes up a little bit, or if you'll step on it, you know that you'll stumble. You could break your ankle, right? There's just no way for you to be able to gauge how much effort you have to put on it. So you have to wait until the foot wakes up. And that period is pins and needles. That is not a pleasant thing. Oh, yes. Oh, somebody's handing me a flower. Okay, what's the significance of the flower? Okay, so I'm like, what? My brain went to what should I do? And it gives me a flower. Stop and smell the flowers, which is just about being present, right? It's about put your attention in what you're experiencing in the moment rather than trying to escape the moment into the future of how you can solve the discomfort that you have in the moment. Feel the discomfort. Why? 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 I don't know. There's something about almost a desensitization that's happening. So the more that I pay attention, like the pins and needles of the foot asleep is what they're using as a metaphor. So the more that I pay attention on that, the more that I realize the needles and the pins and needles feeling isn't really a poke. It's actually like a vibration, and it's not as intense as I think when I go inside of it. It's more of a hum. Rather than like a knife cut. Okay. All right, what else? I get this intellectually. Breathe, sit, patience, smell the flowers, pay attention to the good details. I'm gonna have to wait. I don't know if I can be a patient. Can I be patient? If I practice, this is a practice. Okay. It's okay, so here's what's in the room. It's like a celebration, like a birthday party or something like that, right? There's a part of me that wants to go in and make sure that it's mine. Like, I want to eat the cake, open the presents all by myself. Nobody else has gotten to the party yet, but I'm asked to wait so that it could be joined with others. And a part of me is like, well, yeah, I'll wait for others, but this is for me. And if I don't get it, then what was the point of it? Oh, self-preservation. Okay. There is a deep-rooted self-preservation program that's running, and this is why I don't have the patience to wait. This is why I feel like I have to force it to happen, is because my programming says, from the data that I've collected in my experience, is that I cannot rely on other people. So I have to rely on myself. But this is not a relationship with people. This is a relationship with me in this game and collaborating together. The designer of the game, the player of the game. Yeah, okay, in the dance. Okay. I guess I just have to keep practicing sitting. Like when I'm triggered to lean forward, take a breath, lean back, take a breath, lean back. Elbows up, side to side. Okay, I'm out. I get this. Okay, I get it. I get it. I get it. Do I like it? I don't know if I like it. Can I do it? Yeah, I get it. I don't like seeing that which I want from afar. It does create a drive in me that's more about going away from what I don't want than going towards what I want. It's interesting. It is a survival mechanism. I can see it in my career too, with all of my choices. It's like I try to act before others have acted, or the whatever institution I'm in. Most of the time, it was an institution. The other people were like, "You're crazy. We can't see what you can see." So I just try to force it right upon them. I'll be like, "You can't see it. Watch me make you see it." Oh, that was misguided. So this too obviously is misguided, and I'm getting new information that all I have to do is breathe, be patient, focus on the play, and I guess it's just gonna happen. Ooh, that is requires a lot of faith. What can I do in the process? Breathe, play, be in the moment. Those are things that I'm like doing. I'm not sitting in a closet. I'm engaging in life. I'm just engaging in the life as it unfolds rather than in my mind's eye as I imagine it to be. My imagination is but a glimpse of the possibility of the future. When I live it in the now, it's not the same energy. Oh, okay, so I could do one and the other. So, okay, I get it. So when I see glimpses of my outcome, right? So I know if I see a future state, I will make it happen. Not the way that I intend it to all the time, but it will happen. So I guess it's just having faith in that, that the way it happens is just changing. Before it happened in my way because I forced it. Now it's going to happen in our way because it will unfold. Oh, our. It allows room for somebody else. So my patience is actually allowing for somebody else to play. Oh, okay. And if I want to get what I want, I'm going to have to make room for somebody else. It. I don't know if I'm going to jump right on and do it right away. Okay, let me take a breath because. Can we do this? Okay, we could do this today. We're going to do this today. No forward lean, allowing it to unfold as it happens, having faith in playing because I desire to play with others. And the only way that I could play with others is if I give them space to show up. and I don't try to take over everything so I can control it. You know, that makes so much sense. Like if I had a friend that was living their life the way that I'm living now, I might advise them, hey, you're doing a little bit too much. You're doing too much. You need to stop. Dang it. All right. So that's it. That's our message for today. Where are you doing too much? Till next time.